Hi, I'm Josh James, and this is WUKY's Bookmarks.
Welcome to Bookmarks. I'm guest host Julie Rinn, director of the Kentucky Women Writers Conference, taking place September 15 through 18. One writer we'll feature is my guest, Bianca Lynn Spriggs. Bianca published several poetry chapbooks while pursuing her doctorate in English at the University of Kentucky. Then this year, she published two full-length poetry collections, Call Her By Her Name and The Galaxy is a Dance Floor. Welcome, Bianca.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like you have so many different poetic personalities. There are poems of witnessing, such as those on lynching, or a gritty realism, as in the poem entitled Night on Rand Avenue, sensual poems, such as Thoughts You Can't Take Back, and poems that rouse and inspire us, as in one that you read at the end of a poetry slam a couple years ago, What Women Are Made Of.
Mm-hmm.
I love every single one of those. But you are also a sci-fi and Star Trek geek.
And you
and you've made a film about mermaids.
Yes.
And you've written a poem about dragons.
Yes.
How do you explain such eclecticism?
I get bored very easily. I have a lot of different interests. I consider myself primarily a speculative writer. So a lot of my work has to do with speculative subject matter. So whether that be fantasy or sci-fi, the phenomenal world, those are the subjects that interest me. So one moment I could be talking from the voice of a cadaver, of the slave woman. The next poem could literally be the woman who sees dragons. You know, so to me it's all sort of the same country or terrain worth investigating. And I happen to think that speculative material helps people sort of work through problems that realist work doesn't always give you permission to. So I enjoy being able to experiment and play.
Tell us about the poetry workshop on surreal imagery that you'll be teaching at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference.
So, surrealism had its heyday in the early 20th century, but there are contemporary poets who draw upon surrealist techniques to enhance the poems or suspend the poems or make the reader suspend their belief as to whether we're in a dream state. There are sometimes conflicting images or images that we can't necessarily resolve and say, okay, this is part of waking life. I happen to feel that those poems that can push boundaries of genre and medium can be more memorable in drawing on surrealist imagery. I mean, you really want the poem to be memorable. So surrealist imagery can help make those poems much more memorable.
Can you read us one of your poems in a surreal vein?
Sure. I'm going to read this one called All That Glitters. And they're, of course, on... in terms of surrealism, like anything, there's sort of degrees of it. So the idea here is that I'm flirting with surrealism. I want my reader to kind of question whether what I'm saying is real or a mirage. All the glitters. Her eyes do not change color when he confesses he struck his woman once. Maybe it's because she dug for it. And he admits this so plainly without excuse. Or maybe because they are still in bed, and she is ensconced in plumes of purple silk. They curve into bookends, hands drifting over one another's feet in tomes of poetry. In 3 years, he will still call her lover on the phone, will say he understands why she needed to overturn the bookshelf, how the wall asked for that hole, why her dishes needed to hurl to the floor, how her father's temper sprung sudden from her temples like bright hoodoo pins, why she dialed an old flame and not her mother. His tongue will hum, ever a hive of bees. Remember how you cracked open my ribs and found what was lodged there? She will say, it certainly wasn't honey. He will say, and yet you keep coming back for more. So, you know, the poem kind of takes a right turn at Albuquerque, you know, further on. And all of a sudden we're in this place where it's like, wait a minute, she's cracking open ribs, you know, what just happened?
Right, yeah. Right. And that really exemplifies what you were saying before about surreal imagery being a way of dealing with really hard subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It can be very freeing in
right.
that way.
Right, right. It's not, it doesn't flinch at the hard topics. It embraces them, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You are a Shakespearean actor, I think it's fair to say. I know that you've acted in quite a few of his works over the years. Is
yes.
that right?
Yes, that's correct. Guilty, again.
you said since 1999?
So, my first Shakespeare play, I was a player in Hamlet, directed by Lexington's own Joe Farrell. I was 17 years old. You know, it was great. And ever since then, pretty much all of the shows that I do during the summer, if I do them, are Shakespeare plays, which is great.
And you did one this past summer.
Yeah, so it was an all-female version of As You Like It.
Uh-huh.
So only women actors. And that was fun because there was a lot of gender bending and there were a lot of crude bathroom humor type jokes we got to really play with and have fun with. We weren't trying to disguise the fact that we are women. But we were manipulating how we appeared to the audience in terms of our costumes. And
yeah. Well, what I wonder is, having memorized so many great lines by the Bard over the years and delivered them night after night, how does that influence your work as a poet?
I think, honestly, this year I paid attention to that. It was almost the other way around. Like, because I'm a poet, it gave me more appreciation of how to say what I needed to say or convey what I needed to say, using the meter and the scansion, of course, you know, of Shakespeare's works. I gave a very famous speech, All the World's a Stage, in looking for pauses and trying to convey things in a way that the audience, a contemporary audience, will understand. You know, it was definitely a challenge. And I think the other way around, too, having had to learn those lines, I realized how out of practice I am having to memorize. I don't memorize my work, my own poetry. I perform enough of it that I'm comfortable sort of presenting it. But I did notice that the readings that I gave separate from the play when I was in the process of performing, they were definitely elevated. My performances were much more elevated when I read poetry this summer, and I think that has a lot to do with, you know, being on stage and being a non-out-of-work actor again. So, yeah, definitely theater background helps a whole lot.
The Kentucky Women Writers Conference welcomes men to its audiences, but we feature only the work of women writers. How do you think women benefit from having a conference of their own?
Yeah, there are just things that women need to talk about that don't necessarily require male input. I mean, this book is dedicated to the women, you know, and I feel like there are conversations that we can have when we feel that we are comfortable in a safe space and that we are supported by our community. And I do feel like women need those spaces. We need to sort of forge our own spaces and forge our own narratives and our own voices that don't have anything to do with necessarily, like, you know, what a man thinks about what we've written. There's not a sense of judgment. You know, no one's looking at our manuscripts and, you know, telling us what's wrong. You know, it's women sort of, there's this more supportive atmosphere, I would say, than I've been to in other conferences,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Well, I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful opportunity that folks in Lexington have. My guest has been Bianca Lynn Spriggs. She'll teach a poetry workshop and read from her new books of poetry, Call Her By Her Name and The Galaxy is a Dance Floor, at the Kentucky Women Writers Conference on September 16 and 17. For more information, visit KentuckyWomenWriters.org or call 859-257-2874. For WUKY, I'm Julie Rinn.